Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this morning's scripture readings, we hear of places, people, and events that are insignificant in the eyes of the world, but are great in the eyes of God. In the Old Testament reading, we hear from the prophet Micah about a small town that most of the world wouldn't have given a second thought to, the little town of Bethlehem. Though Bethlehem was within Judah, it was small enough that when a list of more than 100 cities in Judah was reported in the Old Testament, Bethlehem didn't even make the list. And things hadn't changed much by the time of Jesus' birth. At that time, the population of Bethlehem was only about 2,000. And although it did have the honor of being remembered as the hometown of King David, his line had been out of power for centuries by Jesus' time. So to the eyes of the world, Bethlehem was about as insignificant as a town could be. But God sees things differently from the world. And in God's plans, Bethlehem had a place of special honor. Through the prophet Micah, God had announced the good news. You, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So in God's plan, from Bethlehem would come the promised Messiah. And so that God could send the Messiah from Bethlehem, he would eventually bring to Bethlehem a particular young woman, a woman who we hear about in today's gospel reading, the Virgin Mary. Much like the little town of Bethlehem, Mary was someone for whom people would not have had very high expectations. Those who knew her might have recognized that she was a pious young woman, but judging by appearances, she would have seemed to be just another Galilean girl, probably still a teenager, from a poor town, engaged to a carpenter. Not really someone you'd expect to leave much of a mark on the world. But because of this woman's place in God's gracious plans, this woman would, in fact, never be forgotten, and the world would never be the same. In our gospel reading, Mary rightly sings that all generations will call her blessed. And why will they say that of her? Because, as she said, the Lord has done great things for her. The Lord looked upon Mary in her humble, lowly estate, and graciously chose that seemingly insignificant young Jewish maiden to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of our Lord and our Savior. And as we now focus our attention on that son who was given to her, we once again see that what is great to God is often greatly undervalued by the world. At the time of our gospel reading, Mary's son, her Savior and ours, was not yet born, but was living and growing in his mother's womb. When the angel Gabriel had told Mary that by a miracle of the Holy Spirit, she would conceive and give birth to a son who would be called the Son of the Most High and whose kingdom would never end, Gabriel had also told Mary that her relative Elizabeth was also now with child. And so, as we heard from Luke in our gospel reading, Mary then quickly arose and went with haste to go and visit her relative Elizabeth. And so here we have Mary with a newly conceived son in her womb, going to visit Elizabeth, who was also carrying a son in her womb. And in the way that this visit is described for us, we see once again God treasuring what the world dismisses. There is very little that this world honors and values less than a child still in the womb. That is tragically true today, as unborn children are afforded almost no protection. And it was also true in biblical times. Jesus was conceived in a world where abortion, child abandonment, and infanticide were very widely accepted and very widely practiced. So as Mary visited Elizabeth, the children in their wombs would have been considered utterly insignificant to much of the world around them. But the question is, how did God regard those unborn children? Let's listen again to the word of the Lord in today's gospel reading. Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. And when Mary arrives and greets Elizabeth, how does Elizabeth respond? She says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Here, the most important thing to notice is not what Elizabeth says about Mary, but what she says about Mary's son, Jesus. When Elizabeth addresses Mary as the mother of my Lord, she is acknowledging Mary's son as her Lord. This is still in the very early days of Mary's pregnancy, still early in the first trimester. But already Elizabeth is acknowledging the child in Mary's womb as her Lord. He is already Emmanuel, God with us, the Word made flesh. And what about the other child in this reading? Elizabeth says that upon the arrival of Mary and her son, the Lord, the baby in her womb leaped for joy. And Luke makes clear for us that this was not just the ordinary movement of a child in the womb. This was the result of the Holy Spirit working in that child's heart, leading him to respond in joy to the presence of the Lord. 6 months before Gabriel had visited Mary, he had visited Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. And Gabriel told Zechariah that he and Elizabeth would be given a son, who would be a prophet, who would prepare the way for the Lord. Gabriel also said that this son, who they were to name John, would be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And what we hear in our gospel reading today is the fulfillment of that promise. As Elizabeth's son John, later to be known as John the Baptist, is filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, and is led by the Spirit to respond with joy to the presence of his Lord, Jesus Christ. So to the world, these two children in the womb might have been as unimportant as can be. But like the seemingly insignificant town of Bethlehem, and like the seemingly unimportant maiden Mary, there was much more to these two children than met the eye. Already in the womb, they were, in fact, the Lord himself taking on human flesh and the prophet who would prepare his way. So the life of Jesus among us began with people and places that were truly extraordinary, being dismissed as ordinary by the world. And so it continued throughout the life of Jesus. Jesus was rejected by the leaders and teachers of the Jewish people. His claim to be the Messiah was rejected by the people of the town he grew up in, Nazareth, and also by some family members, the children later born to Mary and Joseph. One reason for this rejection that he experienced was that many people were looking for a Messiah who would be great and powerful and outwardly worldly terms, rather than looking for someone like Jesus, who is great in humility and great in love, powerful in mercy, powerful in grace. But thanks be to God, his ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are the Lord's ways above our ways. And so God worked through a rejected Messiah, a crucified king, a bleeding and dying Lord, to save us sinners. For it was in his very death that he did pay the price for all of our sins, and he accomplished his mission of being our Savior, as there he saved us from sin, death, and hell. That might seem like foolishness to the world, but as we read in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And that is very good news for us. It means for us that we don't need to worry about how the world sees us or what anyone in the world thinks of us. What matters is how the Lord sees us. And how does the Lord see you? Christ has taken away all your sins. So you are righteous and holy in the eyes of God. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus, God sees you as his beloved child, redeemed, restored, forgiven, treasured. And so there's no need to worry about trying to impress anyone in this world. And there's no need to try hiding or denying or justifying our sins, worrying about what the people in this world might think of us. Instead, we can simply rest in the forgiveness of all those sins, knowing that because of Jesus and what he has done for us, you are precious in God's sight, and that is all that matters. That is the gospel by which we are saved, and that is the message that we now bring to the world, as God uses us to bring to the world the good news of Jesus and the love of Jesus. A love that lifts up the lowly, a love that treasures the neglected, a love that reaches out with mercy for the poor, the outcast, the disabled, the unborn, a love that reaches out with forgiveness for all of us sinners, no matter what our sins might be. And that is why, just a few days from now, we will be finding comfort and joy in the good news of what happened when a common carpenter and his seemingly insignificant bride made their way to a seemingly ordinary, unimportant town. For as we know and as we will celebrate in the coming days, there was nothing ordinary about any of this. In the name of our extraordinary Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord, amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.